What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This is 96.5 The Fan, your home for Chiefs football.
All right, let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Nate Taylor, who covers the Chiefs for The Athletic. The Chiefs have wrapped up the offseason portion. We are hoping that the next time we talk to Nate, it's positive news. You know, somebody got a contract, somebody got an extension. But the last couple of Chiefs offseasons, Nate, we've had to have you on here because somebody was on TMZ, and it's not because they were dating Taylor Swift.
Perfect intro. Yeah, it's been relatively a quiet off season so far. So yes, just like you, I sent my prayers to the good Lord that we don't have any news really of significance. Before training camp, the one thing that's really left on the to-do list that's in the immediate category is obviously Trey Smith. But there's a good sign with him being with the team obviously this week, participating in the mandatory mini camp. Which obviously gives the Chiefs, you know, a little bit of a runway between now and the, July 15th deadline for franchise tag players. He's actually the lone franchise tag player right now, given the circumstances of things. So, yeah, no news is mostly good news for the Chiefs at this point.
All right, so let's start with this. How close do you believe the Chiefs and Trey Smith are? I think the fact that he was there and you mentioned it is a very positive sign that they are actually very close to getting a deal done. You are, you know, in the middle of this, reporting on it every day. How close do you believe the two sides are in him playing on a long-term extension this year, not the franchise tag?
Yeah, let's just remind the audience, Carrington, that, like, it really doesn't benefit the Chiefs to have Trey play on the franchise tag. We all know it's a one-year contract. It's, you know, it's an average. It's pretty ballooned based on, you know, where the salary cap is and obviously what that one-year contract is. But obviously he's in the prime of his career. He's part of the solution. He's not part of the problem, obviously. So with him being at mandatory minicamp, with Chris Jones even acknowledging that, hey, he probably did the right thing and he saved a little bit of money while also, you know, having this leverage to, you know, really have a contract that will make him the highest paid guard in the league. That's basically where this is trending. Based on my understanding, it's just a matter of how do you want to spread those years out, whether it's 4 or 5 years. That's basically what has always been the issue. But look, the Chiefs knew they were going to sign Trey Smith when they franchise tagged him, which of course prevented him from reaching the free agent market. Then you have all the draft process. Then you go through the draft. Then you're like, okay, well, we don't really have to talk really until like checks the date now. So look, it's good faith negotiation on Trey Smith's side. He's made it very clear that he wants to be a member of the Chiefs for the foreseeable, not just this, you know, 2025 season. So I would say that, you know, I don't want to put an odds on it, but it's relatively high, right? Like, I'm not going to be surprised, and I don't think Chiefs fans should be surprised, Carrington, if on, I'm just picking dates now, kids, but on, like, July 8th, July 10th, the Chiefs and Trey Smith agreed to a deal so that, you know, you've pretty much accomplished everything that was on the to-do list for the offseason right before training camp starts, as we now know, on July 21st. So I think the odds are very, very good. Something would have to dramatically change, from my understanding, for this not to get done the way that most people thought it was going to be done at the combine, honestly. Once the Chiefs franchise tagged him, just about everybody in the league understood you're not paying a guard, whatever it is, $23 million a year for just 1 year. So with that understanding, I think both parties understand that now they can go through some minor details, some particulars, how you're going to do the cap allocation and the money, how you're going to spread out that annual year salary. But yeah, it's probably going to happen. Again, my best guesstimation right now is like, you could do it on July 9th, and it would not surprise me one bit.
I think you make a very good point that for both sides, this deal is very beneficial. And usually when that's the case, a deal normally gets done. I remember a couple of years ago whenever Lamar was going back and forth with the Ravens, like, all right, you guys both need each other. You guys will eventually figure this out. And then eventually it got figured out. If you had to look into your crystal ball, and on that July 8th, that July 10th date comes and this deal gets done, what do you think it looks like? I assume we're talking about 5 for over $100 million and probably close to 50 to 60 million guaranteed, somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah, the thing that's been hard to pin down is how much of the money is going to be guaranteed and how much of that money can you get in years 3, 4 and year 5, right? Year 5, as we both know, Carrington, will mostly be funny money. You know, it'll help balloon the contract. It'll help the contract be spread out. I think the Chiefs favorably would like a 5-year deal. You know, Trey Smith and his agency might want a 4-year deal because obviously you get a larger chunk of the money sooner rather than later. What's fascinating here, and I think this plays into the roster construction moving forward, is okay, if you know you're going to sign Trey Smith and his representation know that as well, okay. Well, what is going to go on with Trey Smith's contract in accordance to Creed Humphrey's contract? And, oh, by the way, the moment you figure out what you're going to do with Trey Smith and getting those numbers solidified, well, now you know how you can work the framework of Trent McDuffie's contract, right? Because even though, yes, you enacted the fifth-year option, the sooner you pay Trent McDuffie, the better and the easier it's going to be, because I think the cornerback market will continue to jump, kind of similar to what we've seen already at the guard position. Everything has worked out in Trey Smith's favor because he, you know, came into the league under unusual circumstances given the blood clot situation and the fact that he would have been maybe a second-round draft pick if he had no medical issues. But the Chiefs have done a very good job, you know, working with him and his treatment for that. He's been obviously an excellent player. Oh, by the way, the market boomed on the position. Everybody realizes that, wow, you kind of need guards and tackles to protect your you know, franchise quarterback. And because you drafted him and you developed him, well, now it's time to reward him. So I would think that the Chiefs will say, hey, we're going to give you a larger signing bonus, a larger guaranteed money allocation than normal. But in order to do that, you got to commit to 5 years, which means you're definitely going to be on the roster for 2025, 2026, 2027. And then it's a matter of, if you're still playing well, can you restructure that contract and technically get to free agency? Well, I'm not sure, but the earliest I would think is 2028, 2029, and that's regardless if it's a 4-year or a 5-year deal.
Right now, we're talking to Nate Taylor of The Athletic, going through some of the storylines as the Chiefs have wrapped up the offseason portion for them. And there shouldn't be a whole lot of Chiefs news between now and St. Joe. Just kind of wrapping things up just a little bit. So there's a headline right now on Pro Football Talk. It says that the Chiefs wide receiver Rashee Rice won't be suspended until criminal case ends. I can't believe that we are still ongoing with the criminal case, but it doesn't sound like it's close to being wrapped up. I mean, and then I continue to read this story. It doesn't sound like they believe that he's going to be suspended at any point for this upcoming year. What are you hearing about Rashee Rice? Because whenever we've had this talk, we kind of always looked at it like he was going to miss at least the first 4 games of 2025. And now that doesn't seem like it would be the case.
Right. And so I just want to, you know, even though this is an audio medium, I am still, as you were going through that, Carrington, I was shaking my head. I was just like, it's kind of crazy that we've gotten to this point, that the odds of Rashee Rice being ready to go in the best shape you could ask of him, essentially coming off his injury and being in uniform on the field in Sao Paulo in Brazil on opening night, the odds of that are higher than I could have anticipated, and I think the odds are more so that happening than the league out of nowhere, you know, making some suspension out of thin air without really any precedent or really any new information in regards to what Rashee Rice did. And I would like to remind people this over a year ago, right? This happened on Easter weekend 2 years ago. The civil suit has not been resolved. As you said, like, there's been really no update on, like, I mean, they charged him, and then, you know, he posted bail, and he, you know, had his lawyer come out and say, like, look, I apologize. I messed up. Obviously, this is all on camera. I thought, and a lot of people thought at the time, hey, that would be the first giveaway for the league to say, look, you're on video violating the personal conduct policy of the NFL because you put others in danger, which is literally in the bylaws of the personal conduct policy. So if they're not doing that, which they haven't done all year, obviously we knew he played, you know, the first four games before the knee injury. I mean, if I'm Rashee Rice's lawyers, I just keep pushing the thing down the line. You just keep pushing it down the calendar. If you want to do continuations, if you want to stall things out, hey, we're still trying to figure out, like, what the civil suit's going to be. I mean, it's not like this is a priority for the Dallas Police Department in terms of, like, we got to get this case up and wrapped up because, thank the Lord, no one died. The injuries were, you know, not great. I mean, there's probably even more of a significant trauma situation going on than even physical now at this point, which has led to obviously the civil lawsuits as well. But I just can't believe that when I first started covering this league, Carrington, if you did something on video, it was a wrap. You were getting four games at minimum. Maybe the league would say, hey, we'll give you six. You could appeal it down to four, yada, yada, yada. Or, hey, maybe Roger Goodell, you know, if he thinks highly of you, would say, all right, well, let's go from four to two and we can move on about this. Now the league has gotten to a point where it's like, hey, man, we don't even want to touch anything until things have been processed legally. And Carrington, I have no idea when that's going to happen. So if I don't know, and if it's not a priority for the prosecutors in Dallas, well, Rashee Rice is set to be in uniform, be with his teammates in Brazil for opening night.
All right, I'm going to ask you to look into your crystal ball for the next couple of questions. The first crystal ball is week one against the Los Angeles Chargers. Who is the Chiefs starting left tackle?
Oh, it's got to be Jalen Moore. Let's be serious, kids. Let's all take a deep breath. And I know that the Chiefs want us to believe, Carrington. The Chiefs are trying very hard. Andy Reid specifically is saying, no, like, Joshua Simmons, give him all the credit. He's been ahead of schedule every step of the way from the moment they selected him in the first round on opening draft night. But let's be clear. The guy's coming off a non-contact knee injury. The more time you give Joshua Simmons the ability to get up to NFL speeds, to get his knee to be strengthened, to not put the burden of, like, hey, protect the greatest quarterback we've ever seen on opening night, because didn't we just kind of see that last year with Kingsley Suamataia? Well, hey, that's why you went out and you paid Jalen Moore on a somewhat of a prove-it deal. Hey, start NFL starting money. Hey, it's a two-year deal. We can get out of it in year two if we don't like how it goes in year one. And you don't have to push Joshua Simmons to be ready for opening night the way that they tried to push Kingsley Suamataia, who, by the way, was fully healthy entering the NFL. So give a ton of credit and respect to Joshua Simmons. We know how talented he could be when fully healthy based on his tape in college. But I think the logical, more educated guess is, hey, man, Jalen Moore's played in the NFL. You should probably trust him on opening night. And we might just see how this goes down the road because even if it's a redshirt year for Joshua Simmons, that's okay. Like, it's totally okay because what matters is Patrick Mahomes is going to turn 30 this September. What matters next season, the year after that, and the year after that, and the year after that with Joshua Simmons' technically five-year rookie contract, that's what really matters with him staying healthy, him being productive, and him obviously shoring up the blind side for Mahomes. But the Chiefs solved the issue in the short term in free agency, and the Chiefs hope they've solved the problem long term through the draft. Choose the veteran who's played in the NFL versus the guy who's entering the NFL coming off a knee injury.
It's also just hard for me to believe that you would sign a player to a $21 million guarantee and then he ends up being a backup for you. Like, the money part of this, we all know, I mean, it motivates a lot of the team's decisions where you have one player on a rookie contract. He also has the option for a fifth year. It is not the worst thing in the world if Josh Simmons takes a little bit of time. But to give a guy $21 million and essentially he's your break in case of emergency, there was just a better way to allocate those funds this offseason, especially for a team that just, they didn't really take many swings. They took one swing. It was to go get Jalen Moore in free agency.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's like for as much as people love the idea of Joshua Simmons and for, again, how talented he is, I think fully healthy, Joshua Simmons has a much higher ceiling than Jalen Moore. But at the same time, like, we have to be reasonable. We have to be wise. Even with his improved rehab so far, the Chiefs were like, look, we have to play someone who can play left tackle, who technically can do the job. And Jalen Moore's done it in spots. I know we've talked about it before, you know, him playing four games last year for the San Francisco 49ers. And by the way, their offense didn't fall off a cliff because he was inserted into the starting lineup for an injured Trent Williams. So, okay, like, it's fine. I know we have a tendency to just like instant gratification and want things. And so I'm fascinated that Jalen Moore and Joshua Simmons are appearing to perhaps have some sort of a competition. Tongue in cheek is basically what I'm getting at. But hey, if Joshua Simmons is in pass in St. Joseph, you've already hit the jackpot because nobody. But not many teams were confident that, hey, if we select this kid, even though he's a top 10 prospect on talent alone, no one thought like, oh, well, he'll just be in pads and like ready to go in August. Like, not many teams were confident in that. That's why the Chiefs spent that whole day in early April really evaluating his knee, having multiple doctors, multiple specialists say, hey, what is the best outcome and what's the more realistic outcome for his rehab based on where he was, you know, a couple weeks before the draft. So I love the idea of the competition and the Chiefs trying to promote this sort of competition that, hey, Joshua Simmons has done more than what we could have asked for at this point in the offseason. But at the same time, there's something to be said about, hey, this guy learned from Trent Williams, and now you get to learn from him throughout training camp, the preseason. You don't have to put all the pressure on him. And because you have that fifth-year option, you've made quite an investment that nobody else in the league was willing to make. So just because you're starting to get a good return now doesn't mean you need to like push all those chips in on a long-term investment that is more long-term than Jalen Moore. Jalen Moore wants to prove that he can be a starting left tackle in this season, Carrington, so that he can go get another job, right? That's why he agreed to it in free agency. He's like, well, I know I could at least start here, and if I prove myself here, I have a big, you know, marketability to get a bigger contract, a more, you know, traditional left tackle contract based on me proving it in Kansas City. So it would be quite strange for them to reverse course when they knew that the only glaring, we got to fix this issue when free agency begins, was what they immediately did on the start of free agency, which was sign Jalen Moore.
Right now, we're joined by Nate Taylor with The Athletic for a couple more minutes here. Couple final questions here, Nate, and we'll let you go. We appreciate your time. Let's start with this. Outside of left tackle and left guard, what's your biggest question with the Chiefs? Because I feel like every question with the Chiefs is just really centered around the, none of us have the answer right now at left tackle or left guard. We think, but Jalen Moore doesn't have a whole lot of experience. Neither does Kingsley Suamataia. Neither does Josh Simmons. Like, that is just going to be a question mark heading into the season. What are your other question marks for the Chiefs as we get ready for St. Joe?
I will think of two. The first one is, what does the running back depth actually look like? Because, you know, they signed Elijah Mitchell in free agency. And, look, he's been good at times, but, you know, the injuries have been the biggest issue. But he does add a, you know, experience, you know, if he's fully healthy, dynamic ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, right? This will be the first time that Kareem Hunt will actually go through training camp. Will he actually retain his number two role in the running back? How does Isaiah Pacheco look? I know that everything's gone well so far. And then, of course, I think a lot of people are like, hey, you've done it again. You drafted somebody in the seventh round who converted from receiver to running back. It's not Clyde Edwards-Helaire, kids. It's the new kid, Braden Smith. But I think running back's fascinating because I don't know what the true hierarchy is. But we'll get a better idea, you know, I would say somewhere midway through training camp before probably the first or the second preseason game. And then secondly, Jaden Hicks. If Jaden Hicks is as good as he looked at training camp last year, Carrington, which I think it was evident to me on, like, I don't know, day three or day four of, like, the full team practicing in St. Joe, where I was like, oh boy, the best draft pick in this class is clearly, if it works out, Xavier Worthy, based on the speed and the dynamics. But the best value pick was Jaden Hicks, who they got in the fourth round, who played, you know, sparingly, of course, over the season. He had the mentor in Justin Reed. He's now taking over for Justin Reed, who's now in New Orleans. Man, if Jaden Hicks is really good, if he takes, like, a pretty sizable leap, then all of a sudden you can start to anticipate the Chiefs secondary going back to the form they had just 2 years ago, when you had L'Jarius Sneed and Trent McDuffie, you know, sort of locking down number two receivers, and you had very good safety play. This is before Brian Cook's ankle injury, obviously, and the ability of having someone like, you know, a tackling machine in Justin Reed. Jaden Hicks has the ability to have Justin Reed upside with a little bit more playmaking ability, because I would like to remind the audience that, no, it was not Trent McDuffie who led the team in interceptions. It was not Justin Reed. It was Jaden Hicks. So if you give Jaden Hicks more snaps, more responsibility, and he handles it well, you might get more turnovers in 2025 from your secondary than you even got a year ago. And to me, he's kind of like this X factor as to how good the defense can get, even though you lose all that veteran presence from Justin Reed, even though you lose that consistency. You might get more playmaking, more dynamic ability out of Jaden Hicks if everything goes well, based on what we see in St. Joe.
Last question here, Nate. What have you heard about Trent McDuffie? You and I both know these deals don't get smaller, and a lot of the players that are in that same caliber have already gotten paid or are en route to get paid. I mean, we've seen what the contract looks like for Patrick Surtain. We saw what the contract looked like for Derek Stingley. We're talking about a player who has played 3 years in the league and been all pro in two of those seasons. That is just not going to be a cheap deal whenever the Chiefs agree to it. What are you hearing about him reaching a contract extension where he is now eligible for the first time to negotiate a new deal?
He is. And they do have the fifth-year option, so the Chiefs gave themselves a little bit of a wiggle room. But let me say this definitively, Carrington. Since Brett Veach became the Chiefs general manager, the best draft pick that Brett Veach has ever made is Trent McDuffie. You have to sign him sooner rather than later. In fact, I would try to sign Trent McDuffie to the highest paid cornerback position contract before opening night, which is what you just did a year ago with Creed Humphrey, when everybody told you, man, isn't Creed Humphrey like the best center in the league the moment Jason Kelce retired? And it's like, yep, yes he is. It's undeniable. Trent McDuffie is the reason you traded and were comfortable trading L'Jarius Sneed to the Tennessee Titans in a trade that you immediately won based on the draft pick allocation. Trent McDuffie is the second best player on defense, only behind Chris Jones, who's already in Canton. So for the stability of the franchise, and because Trent McDuffie is the highest draft pick you've ever made in the first round as general manager, it would behoove Brett Veach to do this sooner rather than later. It's nice to say, like, yes, we're immediately picking up the fifth-year option of Trent McDuffie if, you know, it's not going to go well from a negotiation standpoint. But the moment they sign Trey Smith, as I said earlier, on July 10th, July 9th, whatever day it is, like, pop champagne, congratulate Trey Smith. The moment he walks out the door after signing that contract, pick up the phone and call Trent McDuffie and say, please, like, let's get a deal done now. That's how valuable you are. That's how good you are at a premium position. And he's proven it, and the money's only going to go up and up and up. So for the sake of trying to, again, put these nice core of players around Patrick Mahomes, man, you got to sign this dude sooner rather than later, because he's better than Derek Stingley. And have you seen Derek Stingley's contract? Because I have. It's abominable. Sauce Gardner's going to make plenty of money, and he's now eligible too. Guess who the best cornerback in that draft class is? It's Trent McDuffie. So the best case scenario for the Chiefs, in my opinion, Carrington, is they do what they did with Creed Humphrey. Hey, man, we signed him to a new deal before the season started. Hallelujah. We're going to have Trent McDuffie throughout the prime of his career in a Chiefs uniform. Now, if I was advising Trent McDuffie, that's very nice. Those are all lovely praises. Yeah, let those other dudes get paid first. And if I keep playing well, you know, there's more money at the if I wait another offseason. So that's the leverage that Trent McDuffie has. I just want to make that clear. He doesn't have to sign anything, kids, because he's that good. But if you're the Chiefs, I think there's much more of an urgency to get a deal done than McDuffie, because McDuffie can let these other guys get deals done and know that because he's still playing at a very high level and he has so much versatility and he started intercepting the ball last year, which was just only like negative in terms of a player. He could wait a full offseason and still make a ginormous amount of money. And obviously you would add on that fifth year option as part of the extension. So it does help out the team to some degree. But if I were Brett Veach, the moment I signed Trey Smith, I am making a call to Trent McDuffie and saying, hey, man, what can we do to get a deal done? Because you and I both know your ability to maximize your value is going to continue to exceed because you're that good of a football player.
And that is our guy, Nate Taylor, joining us on the show today. He does fantastic work with The Athletic. Nate, I promise you, we will not ask you to come on the show again unless Trey Smith signs a contract or somebody gets in trouble. One of the two.
Hey, gentlemen, behave yourselves, right? Do us all a favor, all right? Give me a good month.
That is our guy, Nate Taylor, joining us on the show. Thanks, Nate. I appreciate you.
Always, buddy.
Absolutely. That is Nate Taylor joining us on the show today. Coming up on the other side, let's talk about big money and little money. I'll explain. Keep it right here. So drive. All right. We're going to talk about big money and little money in this segment. Let's start with the little money. Now, if there is one thing that you will never, ever hear from me, is me say anything wrong about Sophie Cunningham. She is Missouri royalty. I'll go through her track record in just a bit, but if you guys don't know what we're talking about, Sophie Cunningham, she's the enforcer now for Caitlin Clark. That's her Bill Laimbeer. That's her Charles Oakley. Caitlin, she don't really get her hands dirty, and that's perfectly fine, but that's why you go get Oakley, who is willing to get his hands dirty. A couple of days ago, they were being kind of mean to Caitlin Clark. You know how they get sometimes. They were being kind of mean. And don't worry, that's why you got Sophie to come in and regulate.
I mean, is that displacement? I think it is.
Oh, and Marina Mabry's going to get ejected. If the officials saw that, Marina Mabry is going to get ejected.
Well, they're
going to
go and look at it. Look at Mabry. She's got a scar on one side, a scratch on one side of her face, a scratch on the other side. It's not from the game today. I asked her about it. She's always in the mix. There's a lot of contact here.
So the Mabry girl was being mean to Caitlin Clark, and then Sophie was mean to the Mabry girl. They were going crazy. Now, why is Sophie Cunningham Missouri royalty? Well, she scored 2,000 points in her high school basketball career. They won state every year she was at Columbia Rockbridge. She was the Gatorade Player of the Year. She was a McDonald's All-American. She got a black belt at 6 years old. She stayed at Mizzou and averaged 17-5 while she was there. So you will never, ever, ever, ever hear me say anything bad about Sophie Cunningham. That woman is a queen and should be treated as such. Now, this is the little money portion of the show. Let me ask you this question, Nate. So, you know all the backstory now about Sophie Cunningham. I'm sure by now you've seen the video, right? You've seen the video where she grabbed the girl, they got into the little tussle. How much money do you think Sophie Cunningham got fined? If you just had to play Price is Right right now, we all saw the video now at this point. She got issued with a flagrant 2 foul. How much do you think that fine is?
$5,000. $2,500, final answer.
$400. The WNBA is not a real place.
Sophie, I got you.
$400? Hey, I'm going to be real. If you were at the point that you're finding your players, so listen to this. If it was a flagrant one, it would be $200.
Oh, my goodness.
Because it was a flagrant two, it was $400. You just got to have them do community service. She has over 1 million followers on TikTok. That $400 is nothing. You just got to have her do community service. Hey, Sophie, you know you shouldn't have done that. Go read books to kids. You got to go clean up at a local park. You do that for an hour. Hey, we're going to go ahead and let this fine go. $400 is a wild fine. My friend told me this, and I was like, no, I had to look it up for myself. Like, you're lying. You're joking. You're trying to get a WNBA joke off. No, I'm serious. If you get a flagrant one in the WNBA, it carries a $200 fine. That's like going to jail in Monopoly. Come on now. That's not a real number. I'm telling you. You got to get rid of fines. You got to start doing community service. You got to start doing community service. You got to babysit one of your friend's kids for a whole Friday night. That's what you have to do. Instead of paying the $200, you got to let your sister and her husband go out, and you got to watch their two kids. That's what you got to do. All right, so that's the little money portion of that. A ridiculous number. This is the big money part. Now, I don't say this is a humble brag. I really don't say this is a humble brag. I have been very, very fortunate that for basically all of the major events, I've been able to get my tickets at face value. I went to Game 7 of the World Series. I got them at the regular price. So I don't know what people pay to go to these events. Hey, if you went to Game 7 of the World Series, if you've been to the AFC Championship game, I imagine not all of you have been as fortunate as I've been. So you've had to pay the markup. You've had to pay the big money, the big price to go to these things. Maybe you've been to the Final Four, the Super Bowl. I've never been to any of those things before. What do you think the cheapest ticket is to get in for Game 7? Right now, I'm on StubHub. Game 7, this is Section 319, Row P. So you up there. I mean, you're up there with the Nick Collison banner. You're way up there. These are the cheapest tickets right now on StubHub. What do you think it costs to just be in the building for Game 7?
I mean, those little markets, they kind of go crazy for big events like this. I'll say $800.
$991, including fees. $1,000 a ticket to go to a basketball game. Ooh. You know what you could do for $2,000? You know where you could go for $2,000? Damn, I mean, it's a Game 7. It's a once-in-a-lifetime. You know, you don't get many opportunities to potentially go to a sporting game like this. $2,000? And you don't even got a great seat. It'd be one thing if you was sitting down low. If you was sitting down low, I might go to Game 7 of the NBA Finals. But I'm up in Section 319P. I got to watch that at home on the television. I got to watch it at home. You don't want to know how much it is to get downstairs to the lower level. Like, you're not getting downstairs to the lower level for less than $2,400. Like, if I'm looking at it right now, the cheapest ticket they got is in 219. So one of those behind the basket seats that are okay. They're fine. Yeah, if you want to sit behind the basket, yeah, you can. It's going to be $2,300 to sit in Section 119, Row U. So, I mean, you in the back. You in the back. You downstairs, but you in the back. Yeah, if you got an extra $4,500 laying around, you can go to Game 7.
That was my first thought when you told me about the upstairs prices. I guarantee that's a seat behind the basket in the top row of the section. I mean, I guarantee the rafters are literally blocking part of your view. So it's like $1,000 for what even? I have to sit closer than that if I go. $2,300. Now I'm watching this from home, man. I might love my Thunder or, you know, really love the league. I'm watching that from home.
I also think, what if you're one of those people that got these tickets for face? And you're telling me right now, because I imagine some of you have been faced with this. You have had very important tickets. AFC, NFC Championship game, World Series. Maybe you won the Masters lottery or something. I don't know. And you're telling me somebody comes up there, and right now you got these tickets for $400 apiece. And they're offering you $2,400 apiece for them tickets. Hey, babe, you watching the game at home. Hey, babe, you know what? I'm going to give you $500. I'm going to give you $500. Go do whatever you want with that $500. Go crazy. Go to the mall. Get that purse you've been thinking about. Get some perfume. I don't care what you do with this $500. That's yours. You can't go to the game if that's how much your tickets are worth. If you're telling me you bought something for $800 and now they're about to offer you $5,000 for them, hey, you know what I'm doing? I'm watching that game with Mike Breen. That's what I'm watching. I'm watching that game with Doris Burke and Richard Jefferson is what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be at home playing solitaire during the third quarter of the game is what I'm going to be doing. You cannot go to the game if that's how much your tickets are worth.
You got to be a real diehard Thunder fan or you know, Indiana fan if you are Oh, yeah. I think I'm watching that game from home, C-Dot.
There ain't no thought about it. The moment you, how much you want to give me for these? Oh, man, you know what? I will go to another Thunder game. You know what? This ain't the last Thunder game I'll go to. I'll be back.
Well, that's definitely how I'm approaching something if it happened here locally. Like, now I've seen six of these AFC Championship games. I'm good on this one. So I'd have to put myself in the mindset of, hey, I've never seen one of these before. Like we were in a decade ago. Maybe my answer would have been different before Patrick Mahomes came around. But nowadays, no, I'm watching it from the house.
Yeah, I'm guessing, though, if you got $5,000 to spend on basketball tickets, you've already been to an NBA final. This is the second time they've hosted the NBA final. Trust me, you know what it's like. You know what That's the fair. NBA finals are like. It's going to be a crazy environment coming up on Sunday. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. The Royals woke up bats. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. So drive. I want to start this segment by saying shout out to Randy Jazeerly. I think he is really good at just finding really obscure, fun Royals stats. Now, I don't know if this one counts as fun as much, but you guys know that yesterday, Jack Caglione hit 2 home runs. Well, Rainey tweeted out, Jack Caglione now has more home runs than every other Royals outfielder this season combined. 1. The Royals have gotten 1 home run from a player that was playing right field for them that day, which is mind-blowing. To put kind of the Royals' power issues into perspective, Jack Caglione is already 6th on the team in home runs, and he has been here 2 weeks. I'm going to say that again. He is 6th on the team in home runs. The players who have more home runs than him, Vinny has 11, Bobby has 9, Mikel Garcia, Salvador Perez, they're tied at 8. Jonathan India and Kyle Isbell both have 3 apiece. And then right there is Jack Caglione. Kyle Isbell has 120 more at-bats than Jack Caglione and has 1 more home run than he does. Why Jack Caglione matters, why it is so important for him, is this team just doesn't have a whole lot of power. And in this series, they won because they hit for a lot of power. Salvi hit a couple of home runs. Bobby Wood Jr. hit a home run in this series. Jack Caglione hit a couple of home runs in this series. We have never questioned the pitching. The Royals' pitching was pretty strong in this series. Their pitching is pretty strong on most days. It's the offense. I mean, if this series should show you anything, hey, if the offense can do its part, man, the Royals can get back in this thing and they can get hot rather quickly. I mean, Jack Caglione, hey, if he's starting to figure something out and hit for power, and maybe the average isn't going to be there and the strikeouts are going to be a thing for him this year, and they have been. He's played in 14 games out so far this year. He has as many strikeouts as he has hits so far. So the on-base percentage, the batting average with in the early stages of Jack's career, man, what you need for him to do is to hit like 17 home runs. And if you get like 17 home runs from Jack Caglione between now and the end of the season, man, you feel really, really good about having that guy hit 5th, 6th, 7th in your lineup. And if he had 17 home runs, he probably finishes 4th on this team in home runs. And it took him 2 months to get up here. This team could desperately use the jolt. This team could desperately use the power. And yesterday, I think you saw a small glimpse why, A, people were so excited about him being here. And if he can give you the power, it obviously was a big boost to them sweeping the Rangers, a series in which they desperately needed to win, but they didn't just win the series, they swept the series. And now if you can win this series coming up this weekend in San Diego, you come back to Kansas City at 500. And I'm not going to say all is well from what we saw the last time that they were here, but you have undone them. Going 5-1 on a road trip certainly out can kind of balance and neutralize the fact that you went 0-6 on a homestand just a week ago.
Yeah, I think you undersold Caglione's, like you said, he got up here 2 weeks ago and now he's 6th in the team. He started hitting home runs yesterday. He hit his first home run yesterday and he's 6th on the team. It's why so many fans were clamoring for another bat or bats in the offseason is if the middle of the lineup, if Vinny, Bobby, Salvi, and now this year, Mikel aren't doing it, no one's doing it. And so the home runs were nice, and I think there's regression to the mean to be had when it comes to the power numbers. Jack will certainly help with that. But for me, the bigger conclusion, the bigger positive from this week was the timely hitting, hitting with runners in scoring position. It seemed like if a guy got on base, he was knocked in, whether that was, you know, through a two-run home run. You know, they hit their first three-run home run since opening day in this series. I mean, it's staggering. I'm out of things to say about the lack of power in this offense. But for me, the hitting with runners in scoring position was just as big of a deal this week as the power was.
Yeah, and now looking at the wild card race for the Royals, because that's the race that they're in, I mean, there's no bigger Royal staff than this. Amongst the teams that are competing for the wild card, the Royals are last in runs scored. They're second to last in, or second best in runs allowed. The Rangers have allowed fewer runs than them. And then, you know, there's a pretty big jump amongst the teams that are still in the wild card conversation. So a lot of this is the pitching has been good. It's been consistent for the duration of the season. It's been getting the offense to that next level. And that's obviously been something that they've struggled with this year. So you got to feel good. You got to feel optimistic about what you just saw them do in Texas. And if you can just keep the bats moving, you don't need everybody to be hot collectively. But if you were telling me that for the next 2 to 3 weeks, Bobby can continue the power, Salvi can continue it, and Jack Caglione sprinkles in another 3 to 5 home runs between now and, let's say, the 4th of July or the All-Star break, that's a massive, massive push for the Kansas City Royals and I think what they need to do collectively as a team. So coming up in just a bit, we'll continue to talk about Game 7 in the NBA. We have one final NBA game left. The Pacers and the Thunder are tied at 3 games apiece. Game 7 is coming up on Sunday in Oklahoma City. And we'll also head to the phone lines to be joined by our guy Josh Vernier, who is our Royals insider. The Royals get a much-needed sweep this weekend in Texas against the Rangers. Keep it right here, Mr. Drive.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.